Hi, thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a more positive, successful direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will find helpful now, and some you will put away in the drawer for another time depending on when you will need to use it. This week's tool is sexual health, and why it is important to have the ability to wield this tool, maybe even tonight, once I've demonstrated to you that this is a great tool for your brand. Can't you hear the music pumping hard like I wish you would? Now push it. Everyone likes good sex. You don't have to know that the sex toy industry is a $15 billion industry or have heard the book that sold more than 125 million copies and was on the New York Times bestseller list and resulting blockbuster film 50 Shades of Grey or the wildly popular apps Tinder and Grindr to know that. You possess a body that tells you that sex is good. In fact, almost everything we do is because of our sex drive and our drive to procreate, or so you would think. That belief is actually one that is being moved away from with contemporary sexual health scientists. Emily Nagoski, author of the book Come As You Are, explains that drives are hunger and thirst where you die if you don't have it, whereas you won't die without sex. So we need to be aware that spontaneous desire happens in 70% of men, but not so much with women. In fact, only 10 to 20%, and that is where this outdated idea of sex drive came from. Sue Carter, who is the new head of the Kinsey Institute, has also modified their mission. And if you're not familiar with the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University, in 1948, Dr. Alfred Kinsey, the founder, was a pioneer in interdisciplinary research and scholarship in the fields of human sexuality, gender, and reproduction. Under the aegis of the new director who took the Kinsey helm just over a year ago, the Kinsey Institute is reframing itself. Where once research into sex, gender, and reproduction formed the backbone of the Institute's work, now love, sexuality, and well-being will take center stage, Director Sue Carter says. This is a type of revelation about sexual behavior, and now we are empowered to actually make sex happen. And why do you want to have sexual health in your relationship, you might ask? Well, for one, you release oxytocin when you're around someone or when you're with someone, and you develop a conscious preference for this individual. Attachments are very biological. Adults attach in ways that is deeply biological and physical, so in essence, you can create strong bonds with sex. Think of it as a shortcut. Instead of spending time on the shrink's couch, you can spend it on the couch at home. Not to mention these other added benefits: improved immunity, heart health, lower blood pressure. It's a form of exercise. You don't have to go to the gym. Pain relief. It may even help reduce the risk of prostate cancer. Improved sleep, stress relief, and it continues to boost your libido, improves bladder control in women, and increases intimacy and improves your relationship. So, okay, I want to have sex. How do I do this? One thing you can do very easily is what's called acting as if. Acting as if, developed by the psychologist Alfred Adler, is when we venture from who we are right now into who we are not yet but could be. So in this case, pretending, acting as if, gives people opportunities to enact the best possible outcomes or to create new stories about their lives. So what we are looking for is to cultivate responsive desire. Basically, even if you think you aren't in the mood, just engage in some touching, kissing, or whatever will arouse you, and then you will experience desire for sex. It may take some time, but it will happen as long as you are in the right context. Now, we talked about creating the right context. Let's see what this is all about. For most people, the right context is some combination of low stress, high trust, and high affection. That sounds great, but here's the rub. We have a system in our brains that acts like a brake, and the things that can interfere with that are you worried about unwanted pregnancy? Are you worried about the kids walking in on you? Do you know deep down that your partner loves your sexy body? Do you love your sexy body? Did you spend the first two decades of your life in a culture that said sex is dirty and disgusting and dangerous? Are you ashamed of your sexuality? Did you have a traumatic experience and are afraid of sex? Do you deep down love your partner's sexy body? Depending on your responses, these are areas that you need to work through to reclaim your sexual health, to remove those barriers that don't allow you to have those spontaneous or responsive desires. And here's a clear example. Tickling can be fun or threatening depending on the context, and the same goes for sex. In a safe, calm environment, almost any stimulation can be interpreted as something to be approached and explored with curiosity. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to U Inc. on 90.5 WCBE. And today's U Inc. tool is sexual health. Another large part of the new sexual health movement is also taking a more critical look at visual sexual stimuli, or more commonly called pornography. The Kinsey Institute has reported that about half of kids ages 10 to 17 have been exposed to visual sexual stimuli. In the majority of the cases, it was also unwanted. In an article I wrote for Healthy New Albany, it echoes that there's this quote from the Girl Scouts that says, "Letting kids on the internet is like letting them drive without a license." Pornhub had some mind-blowing statistics as well. Americans consume almost half of all the visual sexual stimuli out there, and about 4.5 billion hours of porn watched just on the Pornhub website last year alone. And here's something else what I found interesting. Love is the most commonly featured word in Pornhub comments, which is interestingly something that we happen to have in common with another widely used platform featuring depictions of scantily clad babes. Love was also the most popular hashtag on Instagram this year as well. And perhaps that is what individuals are actually looking for. Not only will they not find it, but the problem is it's going to ruin their ability to enjoy sex. This is true in part because pornography can be a super normal stimulus. Nico Tinbergen, a Nobel Prize-winning ethologist, described a supernormal stimulus as a stimulus that evokes a much larger response than one that has evolutionary significance. And one effect of supernormal stimulus is that interest wanes in normal stimuli. In fact, use of pornography by one partner leads the couple to have far less sex and ultimately reduces relationship satisfaction, and in general, leads to the inability to enjoy normal sex. And this from the Gottman Institute, which I find to be an excellent resource for couples and parents. And again, you can find all of our links to our show and our website on WCBE.org, and just click on the U Inc. box under programs, and you can get a podcast of today's program as well as the books and the articles we referenced on today's show. It's not true that I had nothing on. I had the radio on. That is a quote from Marilyn Monroe. Welcome back to U Inc. You're listening to 90.5 WCBE, and today we have with us Harley Dean. Harley Dean is an international film star. She is currently working on a burlesque show, but her passion is her new venture, Missions 007, and it is a charity founded by Harley Dean, a female activist, independent international distributor, American actor, and glamour model. Missions 007 is a humanitarian organization that provides emergency assistance and disaster relief in the United States, as well as all across the world. Ms. Dean is a very successful businesswoman and a sought-after personality for appearances at events, and she appears before us right now. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Harley, you have 41,000 followers on Instagram, and even earlier in the week when I looked, it was at 40,500, and you just racked up another 500 in 3 days. You have a Facebook fan page with over 4,600 likes. You have almost 66,000 followers on Twitter. Is social media a job in and of itself for you? It's amazing.
It is. It is.
Is it something that you do conscientiously? It just doesn't become a part of you? Do you do some type of training? How does that happen?
I do it to help empower those that live vicariously through me. So it's like I can't have a bad day because I don't want anyone else to have a bad day. So yes, it's a job within itself.
Nice. And clearly you're comfortable with your sexuality.
Oh, of course.
Were you always this way?
I was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, I'm sure you've met people who are not that way. As you mentioned, you are powerful on social media so that you can inspire other people. Mm-hmm. What are some things that people can do? Because a lot of people are not comfortable with that. And Marilyn Monroe, the person that I used in the quote earlier, said, you know, we are born
the
sexual
creatures. Marilyn Monroe.
Said that we are all born sexual creatures, just a lot of people have it taken away from them or beat out of them or whatever the case may be. How does someone get back to that? How does someone get back that power, that sexuality?
I think you have to know your self-worth, mm-hmm. your desires, and you have to know what you want. Because at the end of the day, for me, I'm laying in my bed with me, myself, and I, and my cat. But it's what I want, and it has to be what you want. Because if you're too busy flustering to please your other person, you're not going to get off, and it's mm-hmm. not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And so how does one go about getting to know themselves? Is there an exercise that they can do?
I would have to say masturbation.
Okay.
To be completely honest, it's very hard for me to... So I had to...
To climax.
Yes, to climax. Mm-hmm. So I had to reprogram my brain. Mm-hmm. I had to just lay there and know what feels good and what feels not good. Mm-hmm. How this angle works for me versus an angle that works for the other person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun to move around and to experience your body because that's when you find out things that you can do that you've never known that you could do.
Mm-hmm. And then also you're able to communicate that to your partner and mm-hmm. say, this is what I need you to do for me to enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that I had read about when I was doing the research, one of the other things that they were saying was to just simply stand in front of the mirror and just look at your naked body and just think about or even write down like all the things that you love about your body.
Of course.
Right. So yeah, that's something that I think that it's great for everyone to kind of, you know, take on to really, you know what they like, mm-hmm. know that they love themselves and know what to ask of their partners. Okay, so in many relationships also, we talk about getting comfortable with ourselves and learning to love ourselves. Great. In many relationships, there's one partner who is uncomfortable with the other partner because the other partner is more experienced, mm-hmm. and so they don't feel good about themselves or they feel jealous.
It's all about connection and being able to talk, because if you can't talk to your partner and let them know, hey, you're hurting me, mm-hmm. or hey, this doesn't please me, then why be with that person?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have communication mm-hmm. in a sexual relationship because it's very important. We're talking about bodies, mm-hmm. not objects.
Mm-hmm. How do people deal when other partners are jealous?
Oh, gosh. To be honest with you, I'm so alpha, I can't answer that. If you're jealous, the door's over there.
Okay. So, you know, timing, you know, here that you're here today, I understand that you recently broke up mm-hmm. with your significant other, with your partner. Was this due to jealousy? And you basically said the door's there?
You know what? I had an amazing conversation this morning, and my girlfriend is my best friend, my soul sister, a sister from another mother, and it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I don't know if it was because of jealousy. I kind of realize I'm a little passive aggressive with my words,
mm-hmm.
but I was just trying to give her advice and it just escalated.
Mm.
I don't want to say jealousy because I don't see it in it, but when I was talking to my friend, and you never know, I don't know, because there's no communication.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're really important to have those conversations mm-hmm. before it escalates, like you said. Yeah. So you travel and you have fans all over the world, a lot of them wanting to marry you. It's very sweet. It's very sweet. Do you think that sexual attitudes are different in different parts of the world?
Oh, my goodness gracious, yes. Especially when you look into religion.
Mm-hmm.
Different cultures, different areas, different countries. Oh, yeah, it does.
So we talked a little bit about the trend towards visual sexual stimuli being bad for relationships in general. And even most recently, Pamela Anderson, who herself was a Playboy model and also was in a home video,
mm-hmm.
right, with Tommy Lee. And she's coming out now with Rabbi Boteach, and they're talking about that porn that's no good. And now is the time for an epochal shift in our private and public lives. Call it a sensual revolution. What do you think about that?
I think Pamela Anderson needs to sit down and take a seat.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You're beautiful. You're gorgeous. You had your turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry that you're getting older now and you're falling off the grid and you're just trying to reach on to whatever mm-hmm. is in front of you. Sweetheart, you were a glamour model.
Right.
You're not a porn star.
Right.
Keep your mouth shut, please.
Mm.
Because it's acting.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you had mentioned that you had gotten out of the business for what reason?
Because, all right, so you know how Johnny Depp is notorious for not watching his movies.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he doesn't like to watch his movies, and neither do I.
Okay.
So I think I had a mental breakdown when I actually saw, like, one of my videos, and I'm just like, oh, my God, is this what I'm teaching about sex? Because sex is very intimate. It's very passionate. It's loving. It's the touch. It's the feeling. It's the moment. It's two bodies colliding into one soul. And that's when you have your climax. And that's when you have your peak. Now, if you're not there and you're not connected, it's like operation. Like, you know, it's you're trying to pull out. This doesn't work. So when I saw that, I'm like, wow, I need to portray something more sexy, something that's more arousing.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about your charity. What was it, first of all, that inspired you to start Missions 007?
Okay, so not too many people know this, but when I was living in Los Angeles, I lived out there for 4 years. I shot the adult industry for 1 year. I got sick and tired of it because I wasn't represented the way that I should have been. And I shot for Hustler, and they completely degraded Harley Dean as a character because I have my government, my everyday person, and then my character. In 2015, Hustler had a spread, and I was so excited. I opened it up, and my tattoos were gone. Mm. They completely devoured my character. Let's just talk about the fact that the porn industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry. I sign away my rights when I go on set, and I get paid for that one shoot. So we're looking at $1,500. Mm-hmm. $500 will go to agents, which is completely understandable. But like $1,200 would go back into my pocket. But meanwhile, Naughty America, browsers, and then also Pornhub, they're making the millions. And, you know, girls have gone to court, but because they're so powerful, they stomp on us like cockroaches. But I have a voice, and I'm very alpha, and that's why I quit. And then I also sat down and I talked to Asakura, Jessica Drake, and I just, you know, I took notes. And they said, Miss Harley, what you need to do is shoot, 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 and then fall off the grid. So I fell off the grid for 4 years. The last 4 years, I've been working on my own projects. I used to work for this company called Global Canvasser in Los Angeles. They're located on Flower Street. It's a nonprofit organization. And then I got the opportunity to be office manager. So they sent me to Australia for training. What's in Australia? Do you know? UNICEF in the United Nations.
Oh.
So I was very honored to work with them. I raised $35,000 in 1 month with my team and my company. Only $10,000 went to Africa. The rest was pocketed. So yeah, I had a little breakdown. So I asked to make an appointment to speak with my boss, and he said, sure. Ouch. That really hurt. I just did this for, you know, anyways. So I'm like, hey, may I ask you a question? You know, I'm in button up, and I'm very intimidated. And he's like, sure. I hate that word, sure. I hate it. The passion. I was like, are we going to help any of the thousands of refugees that are washing up on your shoreline? And he just, like, cocked his head, and he looked at me. He looked at me for a while, and he said no. I was like, may I ask you another question without losing my job? And that's when he was like, yes. Why not? And he said, because of the contract with the United Nations that they have. So I'm in New York reading the newspaper before the holiday, and there was an article, and it was really beautiful. I actually have it at my house, and it's a family fleeing from Syria, and the father's driving, and you can just tell in his face that his eyes were on the road, and his little boy was sitting in the front seat. The mother was in the back seat with her beautiful hijab, and her daughter was sitting right there, and the son in the front seat was looking at the cameraman, and so was the daughter, and you could tell in their eyes. But the parents were just so worried. So I'm reading the column, and it talks about how the United Nations are busily working to help the Syrians. That's complete BS. What the United Nations is actually doing is buying property in Australia. They're making people move out of their houses so that way they can build a new Vegas. Nobody knows that. I can get in a lot of trouble for saying that, but I don't care.
Okay.
I really don't. So that's why I started Missions 007. It's because I came home and I hit a huge depression. And mental awareness needs to be talked about as well, because that's very huge. And that's what Missions 007 is going to do. So my main goal is to get as many donations that I can get so that way I can buy truck beds. Missions 007, why would you buy truck beds? So that way I can build bunk beds. beds inside of these, and then have running water, and then have a lounge, because right now the Syrians are sleeping in tents. And as we're speaking right now, thousands are dying of hypothermia. Mm-hmm. My next mission, that will happen, I'm going to build boats. Why build boats? So they can get from point A to from point B safely. Mm-hmm. Missions007.org, you can view that in... I'll just let you take it from there because it's going to blow you away. I made sure that my website put up little short clips so that way you can see how just not the Syrians are affected by what ISIS is doing, but you can see how countries around are affected. And ladies and gentlemen, don't hold your pride back and bring some tissues when you watch this. And then also Missions 007 will be working globally. I want to have a space cleanup project because right now I feel like that has a lot to do with global warming. I would also like to talk about the pipeline. I am Native American. In my bios for all of the companies that I shot for, when I first went to California, I was staying with an amazing agent. He took very good care of the girls that came through. Very nice, but perv, but he was very nice. Mm-hmm. But he's like, you can't be black or white. Excuse me? He's like, you can't be who you are. Ouch. I think it was 19. I was like, all right, I'm going to milk this for whatever. All right. So on my bios, it says that I'm Hawaiian, mm-hmm. that I'm Asian, mm-hmm. that I'm anything but black mm-hmm. and white. But he didn't even bother to ask my real, mm-hmm. what's really in me. I'm Native American. I'm Cherokee. My mother is white with Cherokee. Mm-hmm. My father is black with Blackfoot. So I have Native that runs through my blood. It mm-hmm. runs through my great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, through my ancestors. Mm-hmm. So Missions 007 will be sending care packages to my people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand what's going on with that because it's been so hush-hush. We have reporters that are looking at 45 to life for displaying the truth. Mm-hmm. 45 to life for doing their job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is Standing Rock.
So those are some of the initiatives that you plan on doing here then.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you do go on my website, it is targeted right now for Syrians is because mm-hmm. that's extremely huge.
Sure.
But you'll see it transition over time.
And you're also launching another website.
I am.
Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, okay. So it's going to be harleydean.rocks. It's pretty cool. This website, okay, so let's just do the math real quick. I have 44,000 followers that know that I'm coming out with my website. Mm-hmm. Out of those 44,000 followers, I have 6 active diehard fans, and I love you guys so much. Thank you. Mm-hmm. 6,000 times 25.99, I'm looking at $155,000 a month for my own revenue. 50% of that will be going into my own charity. And like I said, I'm transitioning into burlesque.
Right.
So right now I'm learning Russian, and then I'm learning Italian, and then I'm getting out of this country.
Very nice. Very nice. This other website, this is the content you've been working on
yes.
for the past couple of
so
years.
So it has like a little bit of Madonna in it. It's very classy. Mm-hmm. So my website is not pornographic at all. It's very classy, erotic, which mm-hmm. is leading into the burlesque.
Right, right. Yeah. And I did see some of that preview stuff. It's really artistically beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So one other thing that I had read a comment that you wrote, and I quote, "It isn't about how many breaths you take, but how many time your breath is taken away." Can you tell me about the sentiment behind that?
I've been through a lot. I was homeless. I was sleeping out of my car, and that's why I started the industry. Now, fast forward, I'm shaking hands with Russell Simmons. They invited me out to his organization last year, and it was phenomenal. I'm rubbing shoulders with Snoop Dogg. Really good friends with Drake. I've met a lot of people that are standing behind me, and I feel like life is breathless, and it's the moments that get you, that make you who you are. I'm very blessed to be here, so. My back says, I don't have thoughts, just dreams of the future and memories of a faded distance, and that's because you can't cry over spilled milk.
Right. I was going to ask you about your tattoos. You have a number of them. Can you tell us what they are?
All right, so my side is the Hail Mary. I am a little bit of a bad girl, kind of a rebel. I was 18 when I got this. This is my first tattoo. My mom's like, you're not getting any tattoos. I'm like, okay, well, I'm 18, so I got the biggest one. I have a portrait of my mother. So if you guys view me and look me up, or if you already know who I am, these are the story behind my tattoos. I feel like I am an angel living in a human experience. So I have a sphinx that is leading up to the Eye of Giza and is leading up into wings. And then it has a time of death. My Hawaiian mandala to represent new life. And I also have a cross because I am religious, but I'm also more spiritual.
Okay. Well, thank you for bringing your angel wings into the studio today.
Oh, my God. No, I'm so honored. Thank you so much for giving me your time.
Really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Girls, you know you better. now, a word from our person on the street, and stay tuned for a special message.
So tell me, William, what are your thoughts on sexual health?
Well, I'm in favor of it. My thoughts are that if someone is going to be sexually active, that they should be educated and know, you know, be able to take the proper steps to protect themselves and their partner.
Absolutely. So aside from protecting themselves, though, do you think that being sexually healthy is vital to happiness?
For some people, yes. I mean, everyone is different, but, you know, it is a part of life. And for some people, it's a larger part of some people's lives than others.
And care to comment how your sexual health is?
I have no comment at this point.
Okay, that's good enough. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
A special note on this program. Our guest on today's show shared a story that was completely unexpected. She herself stated that she had not shared this story before. Other than it being riveting, it was a testament to how this young woman survived incredible trauma and reclaimed her sexual health solely through a testament to her grit and drive. I must also share, however, that this reclamation in most cases requires professional intervention. A number of organizations are available to help those who have survived sexual abuse. RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, offers an online hotline as well as a telephone crisis line. If you are in crisis or need to help someone who is, call RAIN now at 1-800-656-HOPE. Most cities also offer rape crisis centers, which offer support, information, and counseling to survivors. It's helpful to have support in your own community after sexual assault. Local service providers make it easy for you to access care, and they are knowledgeable about the laws in your area and local resources that can assist you. Sexual assault service providers have highly trained staff that can offer assistance in moments of crisis, as well as resources for ongoing support related to sexual violence. Their services are usually free or low cost, and they can offer information and resources, including individual counseling, group counseling and support groups, medical attention and hospital accompaniment, legal criminal justice system advocacy, crime victim assistance advocacy, community education, professional education, casework practical assistance, and volunteer opportunities. Find out more about services at your local RAIN affiliate. Call 1-800-656-HOPE. Thank you, everyone, for being with us on U Inc. and sharing these moments. Sometimes, while building our brand, we have setbacks and collapses and crashes. Together, we can overcome. This is Rhea Greif, and you're listening to U Inc. And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to U Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.